Okay, we stand and have a pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. First order of business is meeting with the Planning Commission. Bob Richards, I'll pass him off to you.
Very quickly, we had a public hearing at our last meeting to add things to the zoning rules and regulations. There were three different things. There's a regulation to add PUDs to commercial areas. There was PUDs, a plan in
development.
So essentially what we're doing with that, essentially what that is, we're making downtown Lake, which is kind of neat. We subdivision regulations, and I'm sorry, section 929, which is designated neighborhood regulations. It was a poorly attended meeting, but it was duly warned and regulated, and it's in your court to have you guys have a public hearing, and that's another checklist off the designated downtown area. So we have one more public hearing we'll have to have for the historic district, and which I mentioned last time here. One of the things that historic that we're going to try to get is the everybody, the downtown, the EDC, the Bearing Partner, EDC, the Historical Society, and everybody to kind of do a walkthrough and pick up things we definitely want to designate as historic. We will do that. We're going to start working on what was suggested to the Planning Commission for the new regulations, and that will be another addition to the zoning rules. So that's ongoing in the future, hopefully the near future. Well, that's all I got. Just to give you that, and wanted to make sure I got it on the minutes.
That's fine.
That's it. The rest of it, I'll look out. Any questions?
So that's something that we can put in our agenda. Can we have the information meeting like 6:37
before the meeting?
And before the meeting, and kill two birds with one stone if we can.
When
we
the most involved is obviously the subdivision.
Would that be next meeting?
You have to have 15 days.
Yeah, there's
it's probably paper. Right. It's whenever the time is right, but we'll probably do a couple back to back.
Yeah, the subdivision rules are, I think there's 13 pages of an appendix or something like that. But it's really, I think it'll be helpful for anybody that has a large development and wants to do a large development. It's step.
I didn't know because of the information meeting was so low attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Did a little more, and we have pretty good attendance here right now. Do you have a little more information of what it is around the like downtown designation as well?
The whole idea of putting in the state requires, if you want a downtown designation, you have to have subdivision rules. Their thoughts are that the downtown will need subdivision rules. In our case, probably not relevant to the downtown, but it's relevant to the rest of the town. So that's why you have to have public hearings. There's very, very little area in the downtown to develop. And some of the things about sidewalks and various things are not applicable in the downtown, but they are if you were to put in a new development. So that's where I think it's it'll be handy for anybody who wants to put in a new development. If it's there, here's what you got to do. Here's how you got to do it. Here's who you got to go to, which is mostly the planning commission, as it would be anyways. But it's just a much more step by step definition of what. It's two different. There's a major and a minor subdivision. The minor is much less of a regulatory process, for lack of a better term. But, and that's decided by the planning commission.
Okay. Any questions from some folks?
It's a quick read. It's not as bad as it sounds.
So once more to refresh my memory, the timing of we're going to have what the plan is, we'll meet the necessary requirements for the notice going out, have the meeting.
Then
what happens?
That once it's gone through, there's a certain amount of time that petitions to have another union or to change a rule that somebody may find that they don't like or think needs to be more specific or whatever. There's a certain amount of time for that. And if nothing happens, then it becomes part of the zoning regs.
Part of the zoning regs that you just did. Okay.
And that's for everything in there. The three different processes.
The plan unit development, the subdivision regulations, and the designated neighborhood regulations.
Right.
That you're adding to the zoning bylaws.
Right. The section 929 that designated downtown stuff. It's mainly housekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
It's four or five or six lines to make us up to date with state regs. Nothing serious.
Does anyone here have any questions for this? Our planning commission, I see we have at least two planning and soon to be three planning commission members here tonight. Any questions from anyone? If not, boy, that was great. Thank you very much, Bob.
The planning commission does approve of your choice. See you later.
Thank you. What? Amendments to the agenda.
Behavior zone. I have three tonight, if that's okay with the board. I propose to add setting the tax rate under new business D,
mm-hmm.
Approval of the VCDP grant agreement, also under new business E, and then an executive session adding 1 VSA 313A2. This is real estate transactions, real estate negotiation.
Do I have a motion for those?
I'll make a motion. Okay. We do that. Seconded.
We know what we're doing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Good. You just made the amendments. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes from June 24th, 2025.
Sir, did you?
I do have a
where the approval.
We'll need it. A motion,
yeah, go through that, and then
we can have the discussion. So,
thank
if you.
You
want to make,
I will motion to approve the minutes. I'll second that.
Now we're open for discussion.
All right, I asked for the copy of the minutes. I'm glad I did because what I was said is one of my goals or something because it wasn't put in there about when the sewer idea or the electronic sending out instead of paper. For the flight all off thing idea in the last meeting. Remember I mentioned that, how about maybe we'll look at other towns or ask them about what they might be doing and whatever, you thought that was a great idea. None of that was put in there. I'm not even mentioned in there at all about it. That would be for you.
Is that under sewer budget?
Sewer budget and the approval.
Okay, so just leave it to me.
So you wanted to say that
I asked about what the other towns looking at possibly what they are doing for that particular idea of going electronic, sending out bills rather than paper but I was doing it through an email.
You mean other towns?
I remember the discussion. Joe, what?
So these are minutes. They're not transcripts, so it's not going to be word for word, verbatim for verbatim. Okay. It's going to hit the high point. So you may not see everything that you've said in the 7 minutes.
Okay.
Because they don't say everything I said.
Right. I just wanted to be what wasn't a ghost and I didn't mention.
Yep. You're definitely on tape, though.
So, all right. What, and do we want to say Patrick Frazier had comments about, you know, I mean, we'll edit.
The
we'll
suggestion was made to compare
I just appreciate
relevant that. Policies at other towns. Yeah.
Because the people don't see that, they can, but you said it's on tape, they can whatever hear if they do it that way. But 90% is what? Reading. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Can I
wait a minute here?
We've got some words here. First, can we withdraw the first motion?
Oh, I withdraw my first motion.
And can we make the new motion with the...
And I will now motion to approve the minutes with the amendment or the change mentioned by Mr. Brader.
And I'll second that.
Comments?
Yeah, mine is about the comments I made about the crosswalk. And I know that no mention was made of Alan Biederman, the attorney for David Nelson, that came to downtown and made the comment that it was an accident for a place to happen. Suggested strongly that I have signage and things, that sort of thing. And incidentally, since we last met, it should be of interest to you to know that I'm sure you're aware of the flood that took place, flash flood in Texas. Mm-hmm. Well, as it turns out, Kern County had a $67 million budget for 2017 that included sirens and that stuff, and they tabled it. So think about that, folks, because I'll guarantee you there's going to be a sewer lawsuit thing. We can't compare our situation like that, but I'll guarantee you we will see lawsuits if something happens. So I ask you people to at least consider. Look at this set of table.
Right now, we're talking about the minutes, and
so I'm talking about.
So I understand. Just a minute.
Okay.
So I'm looking at 2 minutes for public comment in the minutes. It has a paragraph.
2 minutes.
No. I'm looking at the spot in the minutes. The 2 minutes for public comment.
Okay.
And it says in there that you spoke about the crosswalk, and what are you saying?
I say valuable information was not put in there from Alan Biederman, who's an attorney representing David Nelson.
To the point that Joe made, this was just paraphrasing some things. The audio, the recording has it all.
Okay.
I haven't listened to the recording.
Go back and listen.
All this is just a general, or we'd have a book of minutes. That's all in the audio. If that caught the gist of it, we're
okay.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. Thank you.
I just wanted to comment that we are no longer required to have anything but the most pertinent information, the motions and all that sort of stuff in the minutes, because we're now going to be, it's all on recording. It's all recorded, excuse me. And so the minutes are no longer required to have everything. It's a general overview.
So we have a most, yes, Lillian.
Lillian Bill is resident of Fairhaven. I'd just like to make one real quick correction to the minutes of what I said. In the minutes, it says that I spoke concerning the annual submission to the select board of all documents submitted to the auditor. Correcting that, what I believe I spoke of was the statute 24 VSA 1571B, that it was an internal audit, the internal checklist from the town treasurer, town accountant, to the chairperson by June 30th. And not the documents that went to the auditor, but in-house to the chairperson.
And the answer is the same answer I just gave Neil, that we summarized there, and the all what you said is in the recording. Are you saying the recording doesn't have what you said?
No, what I'm saying is the way it was written.
Then it's a summary that we have. Correct. Hopefully that's clarification. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
No other comments on the minutes. We have a motion and a second. It didn't change. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We're going to get by the minutes.
Thank you.
Department head reports.
We'll start with communications. We received a letter from Cindy Adams. She says, "Dear Town of Fairhaven, Cindy Adams is giving her notice to the town, and she'll no longer want to be a member of the ZBA. She thanks, but life changes. So we need a new member for the ZBA," as Cindy Adams says.
Yes. And the ZBA, for those that are struggle with acronyms like I do, that's the Zoning Board of Adjustment.
Yeah.
I serve on that.
Thank you.
So we've got Cindy Adams' resignation.
Yep. And Cindy has served for a long time.
She did a lot of good stuff for us. We will.
She was our chair.
Exactly. Chaired it and everything. Did a wonderful job. We thank her for all the time. So, yes.
Oh, there we go. I wanted to give the board an update on where we landed last year with our budget, because we are in a new fiscal year starting July 1. Your general fund, your 010 budget, which is most things except highway, we landed at 99.9% expended. So we landed right there. Good job by our departments. Sewer fund, they were at 83% expended. Missed water. And water was at 90.02% expended. Highway, the 030 budget was a little over at 101%. So that amounted to about $15,000 over budget. Most of that came from maintenance on equipment. If you look at that line, you'll see that it was over with labor and the purse. Moving on, we got an update from our sewer department. And I'm going to just read this verbatim. The plant was staffed 7 days a week for 10 hours a day, excluding the weekends, which they're staffed for 4 hours a day. Dale Whittemore worked 84 hours, including the holiday. Carrie did 80 hours, and this is over the last 2 weeks. Eli Charlton, our backup, he worked 8 hours. All monthly maintenance for June was completed and July was started. Wasted solids, 8 days. Daily testing was for every day for 14 days, twice a day. Pump stations were mowed and cleaned. Plant lawn was mowed and weed whacked. And you know what? I'm going to make a copy of this and put it in your boxes because it's still going. So it's just she's trying to get the point across that they maintain their facility and they do an excellent job. From the water plant, they're out. They were exercising about last week. They're going around right now loosening up some valve caps and cleaning out those valves so that way they can get at them when it comes time to continue. They're doing a cyanotoxin sample with the state. I think this is a voluntary thing. Don't quote me on that, but we do this every year and just regular testing and upkeep. From my office, with the tax rate set today, just as a heads up, the big thing that we'll be looking forward to in early August is doing the budget. So we're going to have a few weeks where it's a little lull in the work. I'm sure we'll find something to fit in there. But the next big thing is our budget process. Last week, I met with the Pulteney Meadowy folk. The stormwater project is scheduled for early October, the big project out here at the park. I had a few people ask me about Ed. You guys remember Ed from last year, who went around to clean the sidewalks? Mm-hmm. Sidewalks are still a priority, though we're taking a little bit of time to clean up the transfer station and stand up the swap shop. You'll see Shaden, who he's the guy that works down at the swap shop. He helped me out do a little bit of work in the park today, and then he went out to clean the parking lot. So you'll see him around town doing kind of head-like work. So the bobolink, remember that bird over at the airport?
Mm-hmm.
Their nesting ends mid-July, so we'll be out there mowing. We did not kill any bobolink babies this year. Transfer station stickers were doing pretty good. We got 450 sold so far. I asked Eileen to give me kind of a comparison from last year to this year. She's going to give me that for next meeting. We signed the bridge loan for the building purchase, so that's moving forward. We're still scheduled for July 14th for closing. I have a walk, Nate and I have a walkthrough on the 9th, Thursday, the 10th, for that building. For Public Works, they've been, again, a lot of maintenance. They're putting brakes on Nate's truck. They're doing a lot of pole patching, picking up roadside mowing again. They still have a lot of ditching to do up on Scotch Hill, but they're getting at it. I want to thank Shaden and Shaden Coons and Jeff Higgins. They come out every time I ask, no complaints. If I ask them to come out at 6 a.m. and just do a little bit of work down here with me, they're there and they help. So I appreciate them taking time away from their families to just come and help pick up that little bit of extra work that we've been trying to get done. Oh, Kelly Donaldson, she has 28 banners ready to go up, and that process will start, the veterans banners around town. You'll see those going up starting Friday. Jake Helm has volunteered to use his lift, and he's a volunteer for the town, so he'll be going around putting those up. We have a governor's visit on the 16th at noon, so Public Works has been helping with that. They've cleaned the site, and we'll be going out there for a test run sometime this week, early next, to prep for his visit.
And will that be down where the old outlet was, where, if weather permitting?
That's going to be at the old racetrack.
The old racetrack.
Yeah. Okay. At the end of Academy Street. We have electricity there, so we can handle the PA system, and then there's enough space where we can get media in.
He's coming because of chips, and for those who don't keep track of Montpelier all the time, what the acronym CHIP stands for and why he's coming.
I wish I knew what the acronym stood for.
Community Housing Improvement Program. It used to be project-based TIF, but they changed the name as they bounced it back and forth between the House and the Senate. But I think I'm close on the
why they're coming. That's what I call it, the TIF project. Yeah, but the CHIP, CHIPS legislation is something that will help small towns like us be able to afford to build housing in our communities. This is tax, it's tax increment financing, so it would allow us to borrow against future taxes, put in the infrastructure, you're talking water and sewer and light poles and roads and all that stuff that builders need to build homes, but it's just too expensive for them to do on their own right now because it doesn't pencil out. So Fairhaven was part of a group that we submitted a lot of ideas, and we really pushed for this legislation, and we thank Mr. Canfield for pushing for us. He's really been our advocate in this, and the governor, they understood how important it was, so they wanted to come down and use Fairhaven as their landing pad when they announced this. So we'll be on site again the 16th at noon at the end of Academy Street.
Open to the public.
You're going to be hearing more about this, but when you think of this CHIPS, you think of a way that you pay for that without raising all of our taxes and everything up. It's done to that tax increment financing. In theory, you don't raise the taxes, but you get the houses in, and the houses never would have been there if you didn't put the infrastructure in to get the new housing and everything. That gets your grand list to go up, and that keeps it affordable for us to keep living here in Fairhaven.
Just wondering, did you give you an idea of how much they might be contributing towards the Fairhaven and that project, CHIPS project?
That's not how that works.
That's not how that works. Okay.
They have a bunch of money, and you have to put a project together and ask for a specific.
Okay, that's how you look. Okay.
But thank you.
Okay. So the class two grant is in. I signed that document, sent it back to the state today. We're still on track for paving Scotch Hill, or a good portion of it, but that's been pushed back to late August, early September. But that's still on the docket this year. And the AC units are operational on the first floor. So those are going. For some reason, my front office keeps it at 74 degrees. That's a little muggy. but they're going. And I'm doing interviews for the new rec director starting this week, starting tomorrow. And that's what I have for you today.
And Markowski and the waterline project, how is that just about getting down? How is that?
They're doing well. I don't have an end date for that. I can ask them. I have a meeting tomorrow with Markowski and then the engineer, so I can get a date and see what they're thinking.
Good. Questions from the board, John?
I don't have any. It looks like you're ready to hang the power. Right out. It's like me on a bridge. You're getting set up down there today.
Talking of the new town garage, I recall a conversation of the National Guard maybe needing to use some amount of the land for storage early on. What I can't recall what the outcome of that conversation was.
You know, they never responded, but it looks like they pretty much cleared the space
out. Figured it out. Okay.
We were talking about possible leasing, and
yeah.
It looks like that's not.
No, they're not.
Excellent. John, you had a question.
Was there a police report? No. I didn't hear it.
We didn't have
Thank you.
Didn't have one this time, which is for everyone to when Joe reads report from transfer station, DPW, and all that. We're trying something different there now because it's hard to get everyone here and for us to get out and see all the places. So he has them all send something saying, here's what's going on, so we can let people know what we're doing for when your tax dollars are going towards DPW, water and sewer. Yeah, and other things. Okay, so nothing else?
No, sir.
We're gonna move on. Old business, appointment to the Planning Commission. We have an appointment today.
Yeah, I received a letter from Sam Lucci saying he would like to be a candidate for the Fairhaven Planning Commission.
I'll make a motion that we appoint Sam Lucci to the Fairhaven Planning Commission.
And for how many years?
This is the remainder of a term which will expire March 31st, 2027.
Okay.
I don't want to hold this up, but I obviously can't second that motion.
I will second the motion.
Okay.
any questions? All those in favor before he changes his mind. We now have a new planning commission member. Thank you, Sam. Okay. Next on old business is $2,500 request from the Historical Society. I see we have quite a few members here. I'll pass the.
Hey, thank you. I'm Trey Angus, the president of the society, and I apologize that none of us were able to be in the last meeting. But tonight we have Walter Spur, who's our vice president, Ann Ellis, who is our secretary, Lorraine Brown, who is our historian and past president, and Jim Proctor, the local board members. So I understand there are lots of questions and discussion about our proposal, about our request that the town spend $2,500 to paint the ceiling upstairs and refinish the elevator lobby. So I wanted to clarify some things. We have been in business since 1985. In 1995, the select board gave us permission to use what we call the north classroom, the big classroom of the village, for storage of our artifacts. You can imagine we have a lot of stuff. Townspeople have been very generous, and people who used to live here have been very generous, and we quickly filled up that space. And around 2003, the select board gave us office space in addition to the storage space. We were next door where Joey is for about 15 years or so, and then we moved into the probate office next door. So we've basically had space in the building for about 30 years. And last spring, Joe informed us that we needed to vacate our office. There really wasn't any place for us to go. So we had lots of discussions with Joe, the fire department, Itty Bitty Committee, public conference members of the select board. And the plan we came up with, everybody agreed to, was that we would consolidate our office and our storage space into the middle classroom, well, the middle classroom, section, the south classroom, leaving the north classroom, our original spot, for the fire department, because they were being asked to vacate some of their space also. So there are a couple of problems. One, that the south space was not available for us to go into right away because it was filled with town storage. That was taken care of probably this April. We finally get in and start cleaning. One of our members, Rick Wilson, has been working on the floor, trying to get it looking serviceable. So that was problem number one. Now problem, and that meant that we basically were operating out of the boxes in the hallway because everything in our office had to go someplace. So it's in the hallway. If you've been up there, you'll notice that it's quite a mess, unfortunately. But we were able to operate, do a lot of the stuff we usually do. The second issue, challenge was the heat. Joe acknowledged that we couldn't operate in the winter up there without any heat. And we were promised heat, and now several months later, we're getting heat and luckily air conditioning because it's opposite problem.
Oh,
it's very, very hot up here. So, you know, it's taken many months, longer than we thought it would, but that is being taken care of. which brings us to the ceiling. The ceiling, I'm estimating they're 15 or 16 feet high. I actually, not positive, but it's around that. So the ceiling is a mess. It's peeling, it's rusted, and we believe that it should be painted before we move in, because if we move everything in and they have to bring in scaffolding to reach the 60-foot high ceiling, we're going to have to move everything out. And that's a lot of stuff. Probably 10 bookshelves, 80 boxes, furniture, and frankly, we're old, and we don't want to have to move the kitchen. I mean, I'm being honest with you. So that's why it's important to us to get it done soon. Which brings us to the elevator lobby. If you've been up there, and I encourage everybody to go upstairs, and you look at the auditorium and you think, my gosh, this could be a beautiful spot. I mean, it has the potential to be a huge asset for the town. But right now, you walk off the elevator and you think, oh, this is a construction zone. I mean, it's the wall, like three or four different wall coverings, the holes in the wall, the two different types of floor, there's paint all over the floor. So, yeah, selfishly, we would like people to walk off the elevator to our office and say, wow, this is nice. But we also think it's an asset to encourage people to want to use up the auditorium, you know, when they see the potential of the space. Let's see, what else do I want to say? Oh, so how do we pay for it? Well, obviously, we think it's part of the infrastructure of the building is the town building. But I know that there were some questions last time about our money and where it comes from and what we have to spend. We have a small CD savings. We have a checking account. We have a mobile post account. The mobile post account is a dedicated fund that was funded by the people who gave us money to dedicate their post to their family and loved ones in the park. We have that money in savings so that we can replace posts, repair posts, clean posts. Eventually, someday that money is going to run out because the posts are old and they get damaged and We can't use that money for operating. We do get a little bit of money from, we have two small grants, which again are dedicated funds that can't be used for operation. They're for particular projects that we got the money for. And we rely on fundraising, memberships, sponsorships, selling some books and merchandise. Our budget for the year was about $4,900. And if we were to pay $2,500 to get these two projects done, you can do the math. That's half of the budget. So we're asking for a decision sooner rather than later because we want to move in. The fire department wants us to move out so they can move in. I mean, this has been going on a long time, and it's been challenging to do what we need to do with the way things are upstairs. So we hope that you will fund it. If you don't fund it, then we have to figure out what our next steps will be. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Do I have any questions? I want to do the board members first. Any questions from board
members? I definitely agree with you. Need no one. Just got to find the money. And I don't think anything was budgeted this year for that project. So that's a problem. I don't know if we could put our heads together and figure something out or not. How much was the seal and paint?
We got two bids, one for $1,100 and one for $2,400. Right, is that that's right, the last one $2,400. And then Rick got a estimate for the floor for $1,400.
When I add that up, it's more than $2,500 though.
No,
1100,
we would go with the 1100
for
the ceiling.
That was the lowest. Okay.
So 1100 for the ceiling paint.
Right, to paint the ceiling.
And so that I would almost say that the ceiling's probably the most important at this point.
That way we can get in.
That would be
great. Yeah, out of the way right now. We've got stuff in the hall. Excuse me, I'm not a hall owner right now.
No.
We got stuff in the hallway. It's making it so. With our stuff in the fire department room, they can't move their stuff out of the big room because they've got no place to go. So it's kind of like we're a cog in the wheel until we can get in there. But if we start moving stuff in, you can't get around with anything to do the ceiling. And it's going to end up getting painted or broke or...
Understandable.
Yeah. That's right.
Sam?
Well, for me, it begs the question what the plan was prior to your presentation to paint the ceiling. I suppose there was a timeline in place for when the objects would be moved, and I just don't know that I have clarity around what that plan was precisely.
The plan for moving?
It sounds like the fire department is waiting for your objects to move, and right. And I didn't know if there was a timeline mapped out for how that was
when we had to move the office, it was kind of a mad scrimp, pack everything up, get everything in the hallway, and then our focus was on consolidating, knowing that we had to combine two spaces, sorting, giving away, going out, organizing, packing, and it really wasn't until I want to say April that we got into the big room to even see what we had to work with because it was full of stuff. And when Rick got to work on painting it, we realized, wow, this space is pretty good until you look up. Because the fire department, that ceiling is beautiful. We never even noticed the ceiling before. So we didn't really have a plan.
The other thing is we couldn't work in the wintertime. There's no heat as of last year. And now it's an oven up there. So that is that also
that problem. Do we have AC working up there yet?
No, yeah, they're working on it.
Does that?
I don't have the time. But...
I did speak to one of the workmen on Monday because I was upstairs, and I asked him about the status, and he said it would be soon. And I said, you mean we might not have to suffer in the heat in August? And he said, yeah, that's right. So hopefully
so there's an ending.
That's a good sign.
But I just want to add that we cannot do any research. And when people call us to say, do you have this, do you have that? We can't even, we don't know where anything is.
It's a box.
It's a nightmare. And so the quicker we get back in there, it's going to benefit everyone.
Joe, you want to say something?
I would just be cautious with his August deadline. As you know, deadlines tend to move back and back and back and back. So I wouldn't hold him to it.
He's very close. And I took that as a good sign.
They're moving along fast. I just did.
Well, and thank you for being patient. You had something you wanted to add.
Yeah. With respect to the Historical Society, because we put our funds for the heating, cleaning up in front of the elevator, et cetera, and the ceiling. I attempted to present these documents to you outside, and I expect you didn't want to take them. I did discuss and explain to Mr. Lucci prior to the meeting. However, this is something that I've been speaking of and about for a long time, and it's fallen on deaf ears, and unfortunately, but yet fortunately, the Historical Society is now bringing it to light. I particularly would like to, and I've just given Sprown a copy of it, a letter dated April 29th, 2022, on the Congress of the United States letterhead signed by Peter Welch. And you've heard me speak many, many times about the Peter Welch grant upstairs, the Peter Welch grant upstairs. In particular, it goes on and it talks about the request signed by Mr. Gunter for the finalizing. This is, again, April 22, with the granting of this in December, January 22, 23, 2 years ago. The town did receive $250,000, particular to, the application was for, particular to, improve the quality of life by creating the third place upstairs for expanding access for local historical artifacts through local displays and connecting the new space to the town, and will have heating, heat pumps, etc. That again is approved in this particular letter. A requisition of Congress, federal funds granted. However, when I spoke of this over and over again, in the minutes, all documented, not personality conflict, June 11th, 2024, I questioned what happened to the Peter Welch.
Lillian, we need to.
We're getting there.
Wrap this up. Okay. This is a comment to what you're discussing is we have multiple grants, and that's
what
why
I'm saying is that when I questioned it up 30 seconds, when I questioned it before, Mr. Richard said that money all got put in the pot and there's $9,000 left from the minutes. It went to the downstairs work and improvements downstairs. So there should be absolutely, positively no hesitancy on this board to grant the Historical Society the funds they're asking for, because, in fact, their funds from the Peter Welch grant are sitting out there in the rock and Eileen's sliding glass window.
Thank you. You've taken,
not upstairs.
Thank you for your comment.
You're quite welcome.
What if the Historical Society wasn't going into their room up there? The town would have to figure out something else. They would be doing something else with the room, at which point the town would have to take care of the ceiling anyway. I don't understand why we're hesitating. I mean, I do understand why we're hesitating, but I think we should try really hard to find the money.
Thank you. Any other comments?
And the funds that were 100% used on last year's budget be put into that from the town manager's report earlier. A department used 90% of their money, but I left 10%. I don't know.
Good questions. But understand that the reason I'm conscious about what to commit to and not commit to, we have the project ongoing where we're putting the heat pumps into the main hall, fixing the ceiling in there as well, and fixing the floor in there as well. This is just me. I won't speak to Joe, and Joe will correct me or kick me under the table if I'm wrong. But what I'm concerned about is we're going to be doing something with the floor in the main hall. I don't want to bring people in to do floor in front of the elevator, have them go back and bring people again into the floor. I think we can probably more cost effectively do all the floors at once. I look at the ceilings and say that when we paint, we need to fix and paint the ceilings. I don't know if there's any paint for the ceilings, but I don't want to overcommit. But I know there's work we have to do in the ceiling because there's a big hole in one corner.
Go ahead. That's good. So since we're talking about the topic, y'all have been here much longer than I have, right? I've only been here going on 8 years. But as far as I can tell, the building has been neglected for at least a generation. Or am I wrong? 20 years? 30 years? What we're doing, we're rehabbing this building within less than a decade. We're pulling it back from the brink. I know it seems like it's taking a long time. Maybe it is. But after almost a generation of letting the building lot just let it rot around us, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time to put in an elevator. It's going to take some time to put in the carpet and to paint the walls and to repair the holes. And I know we don't want to wait. We want it done right now because that's the way we live. What I'm asking you is for some patience. I'm fighting back a generation of neglect. And what I'm doing is I'm going to every state department, every federal agency, asking them to give us free money to rehab a building, a historic building in our town. I would love it to be done yesterday. It's not going to be. But what we're doing is we're using other people's money to rehab a building that was neglected. What I'm asking you for is patience.
Joe, we appreciate that, and we appreciate what you and Select Board and everybody else involved has been doing. We who wrote the history that you see in an exhibit out here that we funded completely. That was done with our money. More than we had. But that's neither here nor there. We sincerely appreciate your request for patience. What we are trying to do really is to get out of a dilemma. The fire department needs to get in. We need to get in. And we want to do that. But if we, at this point, neglect the ceiling and then have to move everything into the auditorium later on, a year from now, 2 years from now, whatever that is, it's going to be a major disruption at that point in time. What we're trying to do is to head off a problem at the pass so that we don't have to face that later on.
Yes, Lorraine.
I just wanted to remind Joe that there have been at least two grants that I can think of that have been recommended to you to do exactly the work that we've been talking about. And you have said, quite frankly, and I understand your position, that you don't have time to administer the grant, even if you got the grant. So, yes, I understand and appreciate that you You were bending over backwards trying to get this project done. But as was pointed out, there was money earmarked for the project that either didn't go as far as it should have or wasn't spent on things it was supposed to be spent on. And we're talking about $1,100 to get us moved in.
So if I will correct you on that, Lillian Billowitz is completely wrong.
Right.
And she has done her best to stop this project going forward.
I'm reading from the, yeah, I'm just reading what the funding grants said.
Yeah. Lillian Billowitz is wrong, and she's intentionally trying to stir the pot.
Lori?
I just want to say, the town plan said that the historical society is to promote the history of this town and bring in tourists. Mm-hmm. Where are tourists going to go now? And how many people contact us and say, well, can I look at this? Can I look at that? I just met with a woman about the marbleizing slate. We couldn't take her up there. I had to go find out all the papers, and she met me at my house. And we went through it. You're going to be upgrading the town plan, and that's part of the historic district. You've got to look at that.
John?
Yes, my name is Jonathan Billowitz. Just a simple question. Since this renovation has to be done on this municipal building, as Mr. Gunter stated, he is begging, pleading, Oliver Twisting, please sit and have some more for all the agencies. How much free money has Mr. Gunter spent or invested into this building? Last I knew, it was just north of $900,000.
That's not the question we're addressing right now. Now we're addressing a request for $2,500 to do some work upstairs. And I want to keep that there, the discussion there, because we, for the time being, I'm going to come back to any other thoughts or comments from the board.
I you know, my only thought is, I agree with getting the ceiling painted. If there's any possible way we can scrape up some money from somewhere.
It's something like $700.
$700. Even if we got to go out on the street and beg, I don't know. I agree with getting the ceiling done, putting the floor off until such time as we can put the floor and the hall together.
Then we can operate.
Mm-hmm. We can do our thing.
But I don't know if we can find the money.
just a second, I'll get. Did you have a thought there?
My only thought is to have a better sense of what the long term plan is for the second floor, the timeline and phasing for the various rooms, the walls, the ceilings, the floors. For myself to have a better sense of that before I could vote on appropriating funds for anything specific. And again, to Rich's point, I don't know where the money would come from specifically, so I don't feel like I'm in a position to commit any funds at this moment, but I think it's a problem that obviously needs a solution.
The problem is, so somebody is going to donate $2 million and we're going to buy a building.
Good. That would be a good
solution.
Laura, what you had a comment on?
I have a proposal, actually, just listening to all of this, because I think everyone in this room agrees that the Historical Society is an invaluable part of this community and our history. So I don't think there's anyone in this room who disagrees with this. And it seems like for the amount they're asking, somewhere between $1,100 and $2,500, we could pull that out of the emergency fund. I realize it's not a dire emergency, but it seems very, very important. And then, killing two birds with one stone, we could take Joe's idea from last time of the $5 reimbursement on the water bill, and we could make that money back so fast, because I've done the market research on it. The average cost nationwide to mail one single bill, and that includes labor, paper, ink, et cetera, is in the range of $12
$40 for one. Okay. Converting to email, the average is three. Now, not everyone is going to do it, and that's fine. There's no negative to that proposal because there's no fee instituted for a person who doesn't want to convert. There is the choice to not convert. So if you just take, there's 900 bills more or less that go out. If you take 10%, 100 people that convert, I know at least 20 right now that don't convert, and I haven't even started to not convert. You take 100 people, and then you take that lowest savings. So the average was $12 to $40. So let's knock it down to 10. Okay, 10 times 100 is $1,000. Each billing cycle that you're going to get back once you replenish that $5, which will be replenished in the very first cycle, which means upwardly driving that discount, if you end up someday with 500, people, you're banking $20,000 a year that can go toward raising people's pay to other necessities. But for right now, the need of the historical society, you could pull that $1,100 out of the emergency fund, institute the $5 conversion if people would like to do it on the water bill, and make that money back in the first quarter.
Thank you for your suggestion. Yes.
And Alice, and the other thing you've got to remember is if you do this, you're not just helping us. We can get out of there, and then it'll help the fire department, too. So you're helping two groups, not just one. Exactly.
Understood. John?
One quick last thing. Before we go slapping paint up on everything, what is the actual condition of the slate? Are there any holes, pieces that need to be removed or replaced?
There's...
You can slap it. It's not a fresh coat of paint on the curb at the end of the day. It's still going to deter.
That's an ongoing and legitimate concern. Thank you.
And another, to follow up on what Jonathan said, we don't want to have, no pun intended, history repeat itself. But asbestos upstairs, I don't know if the entire upstairs, there needs to be the actual testing. Thank you.
We're good. We've used most of this time up here for this. Got a lot to mull over. Unless there's a motion, I don't believe we're ready to make, because there's a lot of there's a suggestion of where you can get the money. There's a lot of different places where you look if you were understand the problem a lot better though. With having you here talking, I really appreciate the letter you filled out, coming in and helping us understand that and different people's suggestions. I really appreciate that too.
Are there any funds coming in from like this big food truck? Is there any way any of that could help? Anything from that? It looks like it's being made at this big thing.
I think we collected a pretty meager.
It's a small permit to be a vendor. It would take us a lot of years to get enough money to. But I
like the thought that a fundraiser.
Could you do a fundraiser to get?
That would be a big help.
Here's a suggestion. You're talking about budgets, you know. Yeah, $2,500 offer, right? That's what you're looking at.
I'm looking for 11 right now, and just getting the painting is what I'm hearing, so we can make moves happen.
Whatever dollar figure, what do you feel you could pony up?
I don't want to make a commitment now without
seeing what's. I'm trying to find out once you ascertain that, reach out to your community. You got a ton of people. They have relatives that went to school here. I went to school where they did not admit it that long. But there's people out there that would donate money for a cause.
But
you got to give them a reason and give them a facility, because it makes sense to have a historical society in the very building where it was a high school at one time. And what you're battling, whether you like it or not, is you're battling the high school. Because the high school is your biggest budgetary item in the whole thing. But they have needs, et cetera. So they got a problem. So have to go out and stand in law.
And sorry about wrapping this. I know you want a decision as soon as you possibly can, and so don't we. So, but I think you've given us a lot to think.
Well, if you have any other questions, please be in touch.
Thank you for coming in. And
one last question I have for you all before you leave. I know right now that everything is still sort of boxed up, and that's why we're all here. But do you all spend time here in the building at any given on any regular schedule right now?
Not right now.
No.
Other than we have monthly meetings.
So. Okay. And when does that monthly meeting occur? Just
Monday, every third Monday.
Thank you so much.
We don't dare set up the room, because if we set up the room,
of course. And then Lorraine alluded to some requests from folks, perhaps for records that are kept. How do folks get in touch with you when they have those requests?
Well, we're on the council.
So is it Facebook generally?
It's not. And we have all the people that we have a newsletter that goes out every 3 months.
Yeah.
So
which raises one of our questions. Do you get our quarterly newsletters?
Yes, they do.
You said that. Do you receive?
I've seen it.
Okay, I'm good.
Well, Rich, you're a member. So you're going to get your law.
I think what a lot of people, just to clear the air a little bit here, a lot of people don't realize town, we can't take taxpayer money and just move it every which way we want to spend the money. Because we'd be in deep due with everybody, including you folks. So we have to budget the money in order to spend it. It's not like you guys can go out and fundraise. We can't do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
thank you for coming in. Okay, moving on to approving the water and sewer rates.
We went back to check water and sewer rates. To make sure they were okay, get it correct. I'm requesting the board to approve the water rate at $8.46 per 1,000 gallons, with an approved base rate of $38.50, and a sewer use rate of $14.28 per 1,000 gallons, with an approved base with a base rate of $25.
I make a motion that we accept these rates.
Do I have a second?
I will second that motion.
Any discussion? Just want to make a comment. This is the first time I can remember since being on the board that both water and sewer actually not only did stay level, it went down. It doesn't happen that often. But okay, we know what we're doing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Could be cheers. While we're getting those signatures on that, I'd like to move on to the new business, which is an outside consumption permit.
Yep. Fall Mountain Wines up on Scotch Hill, they're looking for an outside consumption permit.
I make a motion that we grant that.
I will second to approve that.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nothing to sign. You can have nothing.
Perfect.
The state changed it.
Next on your new business, unregistered dog list. I have a new one.
Yep.
Yeah, so there's no action by the board, but Councilor Laramie needs to hand that off and let the board know that we do have, let me see, 69 unregistered dogs.
Oh.
No, back up. Not moving this registration. Yeah, 69 additional unregistered dogs.
And I think that, and that is 69 that were registered last year, that if we make the assumption they're still here in town, didn't get registered. Okay. Just want to let you know, someone moved and took, Rover Willem. They, okay, it would be 68, but it's a high number.
Maybe Danny was doing a little detective work. That makes more sense. Thank you.
It's a very high number, but it may very well be higher than that.
It could be.
We don't know the ones that have never been registered.
Correct.
That is correct. Yes. What's that?
Ask a question on that?
Sure.
When is the last time the town completed the dogs? Because I know 40 plus years ago, I got bit by a dog, an unregistered dog. And back then, the town was required annually, I believe, by the state, to physically go door to door and count the dogs after dog registration. Do not know if that law is still existent, but I'm curious when the last time an actual dog census was done.
I've been on the board for 7 years and I haven't seen the town.
So I don't know again if that was
still
a thing, but just food for thought.
And again, with
Fleming and Green, those points, how many there actually is that are not registered.
And the reason we're doing this is it's a health and safety issue. Absolutely. And we average probably, I bet, 3 to 4 dog bites. I think it was 2 just this spring. And we're going to keep working on it. Okay. Fire department compensation policy.
So the fire department updated their compensation policy to pay our firefighters for the trainings that they do. In your package, you should have a version with the strike through, and then I have some copy for a signature.
Yes, and backstory on that, we last year we came in with our budget. We added money to the budget and discussed with the board that we were interested in extending compensation for training hours. As the only municipal department that right now is not compensated for training, wastewater is, water is, DPW is, police are. We see it as a recruitment and retention benefit and a way to encourage more firefighters to give up more of their time. As we knew last 2 weeks ago, when we gave a report, we had a member that gave vacation time to go and take a course on his own. And we just felt that in this day and age where people are hard to come by and even harder to keep, that a little bit of an incentive would be in the town's best interest to have better trained and hopefully more better trained firemen.
And as Joe said, this is something I think we agreed to do during budget time. We're just formalizing it now with the policy.
Yeah, the other thing that we did as part of this change the policy was we struck any reference to volunteer, because the structure department is an on-call municipal department, and you volunteer to walk to the door. After that, you become a municipal employee when you're on the call. That just reflects the act, the more act of reflects the actual structure.
And to clarify a bit more, it's not every hour isn't paid for. This is still pretty much a volunteer group. It's when they're going on call, and when they're in training, there's a stipend that we pay because sometimes the amount of training, they have a lot of new firefighters out there and a lot of training going on.
On average, your officer group probably spends, depending, not every officer all week. I know for me, there's weeks I spend between 3 and 10 hours of my time that will not be compensated on that, which I will continue to do. Same for Chief Heller. Captain here, Charlton. So it just helps those little things. We did little neat little thing. We had fit testing, which is your mask, how it fits and stuff that's required of that. We pretty much doubled that with our recruitment this year versus what we've done in the past.
And we also have with Chief, he's Seal being a Vermont State instructor, he donated his time, so we were only charged a reduced rate by the state.
So I will entertain a motion to accept the fire department compensation policy update.
I make a motion that we accept this update.
I will second that motion.
Kevin, all those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jones.
Thank you for what you do there, Jim.
Yes, the sign of this is clear.
Yep.
Okay. While we're getting the signatures on that, I'm going to move us on to the next item on the agenda, and that is setting the tax rate.
So we're about a week behind, but we have staff lined up to get the tax bills out. So it's
thank you.
No, go ahead.
It's a great year to be in Fairhaven. So we talked about the water and sewer rates coming down just a few minutes ago. Now we're proud to say that you'll see a reduction in your tax rate. For the homestead tax rate, it's coming down 2.69%. Your non-residential rate is coming down 1.73%. This is mostly due to because the state controlled numbers for homestead education and non-homestead education came down dramatically. 6.5% for one and -4% for another. What helped contribute to the reduction is we saw a little bump in our municipal grant list. Not a ton, but just enough. And then the town itself, the select board and the staff, they really managed to keep the increase in the budget down to something better than reasonable. And on top of all that, we saw, I think it was a $63,000 increase in our non-tax revenue. So all that piled together, we get to see a reduction in the tax rate this year. So with that, the homestead tax rate, the proposed homestead tax rate, will be $2.6042. And then the non-residential tax rate is set at $2.9308. I said that wrong.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we set the residential tax rate 2026 at 2.60.42 per $100 in assessed value.
Do I have a second, Sam?
I will second that motion.
What we're doing?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Make a motion to set the non-residential tax rate for fiscal year 2026 to 2.9308 per $100 in assessed value.
I will second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We'll just set the tax
rate. The bills will go out probably first. They have to go out.
They go out when?
Probably Thursday.
Okay. Under new business E, approve the BCDP grant. Or I like to say, we're looking at the old Skyline place where we're doing the modular housing. That's the grant that's looking at the feasibility for that.
Yeah, exactly. This is the BCDP has given us $60,000 to assess the usefulness of that building to turn it back into a modular home producing factory. So I have
a motion for that?
I'll make a motion to do that.
Sam?
I will second that motion.
Okay. Discussion. Now, what was the motion?
The motion was to approve the BCDP.
Okay. Got it.
P grant? Yep.
This is the same grant. Talking about several months just coming to fruition.
Yeah, so just
finally ready for a signature. Yep. So we have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that were 15 minutes ahead of time for 2 minutes for public comment. Go ahead, Patrick.
Sorry to bring this up, but I got a deja vu again in 2012. Wondering what perpetual care actually means at a cemetery, especially Cedar Grove. My sister passed in 2012, and we had the same incident that happened then as we just did now with my dad's grave in 2017 when he passed, but just this year. Me and my sister and my mom went to Hicks and bought a nice huge glass thing to dedicate for my dad for his birthday on May 31st. We had initial ideas, Peter Loris, doing the engraving on it, went on a huge thick easel, and we brought it down on Dad's headstone for Frazier on the right side of the cemetery down there. You'll see it. Unfortunately, you won't now because somebody smashed it. And like my sister's from Briar, even Dad bought it in 2013 after Angela had passed, was all smashed. We're learning what's going on down there, and we're losing stuff real valuable or sentimental to us. And we're finding pieces all over. We did find one little thing that was inside we put of a small sunflower thing, and that was it laying on top of the headstone. But we were down picking it up, me and my sister, the other day, the glass. It was a huge globe, also what I call it a goldfish globe size, but it was all smashed, and the lettering was sentimental. Of course, had all our names on it, and the loving father and all that. And so we're out about $100 now. And this is the second time this is running around. I remember my dad came to the border way back in 13 when that happened with Angela's situation and gotten away after that. I don't know what can be done. I don't know what's going on. I don't think we have that many people in town. I hate to pray, but I hope not. But anyway, yeah, so I'm just curious what could be done or what should we do or what? Because when there's sentimental value with this stuff, it really hurts having to go down and see that.
Sorry that happened.
Sorry too. I don't have a response, but just so to help them, we are the cemetery commissioners as well as the select board. It's the reason for that. It's something.
I understand that perpetual care is it's always kept in all room.
Right.
Okay. I don't think we're responsible for the bodies.
Yeah. Sorry, that's happening.
Yeah, because we're going to tend it now, of course, as you can imagine, but anything else on what's happening next. I mean, thank you.
John?
Real quick. My name is Jonathan Hillowitz. This is concerning the police department. I've noticed over the last couple of months, nothing against them, but they've been doing foot patrols in the apartment buildings downtown and in private businesses, so on and so forth. They could be setting themselves up for liability lawsuits if something should happen because they are privately owned buildings. And I don't believe a public police force should be patrolling private buildings like that. The building owners should be looking into securing security cameras, better locking mechanisms, so on and so forth. That's pretty much the reason why our CPD, Wellington City Police Department, hired stock or former hired stock and stock using our CPD. I just don't want to see you guys get any more lawsuits.
Thank you for your comment.
You're welcome.
Any other comments? Neil?
Yeah, the planning commission. He's the newest member?
Yes,
that's yes, right. Good here. Okay, I need to know the list of who's on it, where they meet, and you want to get on your agenda. But I say wait for the hydrant project.
I know for certain it's available on the town website, but is there anywhere? Or sorry, I'm missing.
This might be a conversation not in a select board meeting, maybe just
come. Maybe you get to the ball more. Right. Yep. I'm glad to see you're on.
Yeah.
For certain.
I know they meet on Wednesday.
So first and third of Wednesday of the month.
Yeah. That's great.
Okay.
Thank you.
And you can just,
so I guess I can get a list who's on it.
And you've got Ann here is on it, or running.
Yeah,
oh.
I think we just show up.
Okay.
Well, we've got a specific thing to present. This is big. This is a revenue producing.
Good. Good. Any other? Yes, Lauren.
Tying this into the financial aspect, checkbook, and accounting for the town. Last meeting, I spoke about the internal audit or the internal checklist that was due by June 30th from the town accountant, town treasurer, to the chairperson. I would hope that Mr. Travers has received, approved, and reviewed the checklist from the town accountant or town treasurer pursuant to statute.
Thank you for your comment.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other comments? Moving on to parking lot. We still have the same items, neighborhood designation, subdivision, transfer station operation, but we had a point where you want to keep it on for a while.
No, we can still do better down there.
Okay.
So I think we can improve on what we do with our scrap and what we do with our freight. It's a slow process.
And downtown designation. So those are what we have there. No one has any on the board here to speak. Board roundtable. Sam.
Thank you for approving me to join the Planning Commission. That's about all I have this week. So I'll pass it off to Rich.
Rich?
I know our DPW crew is real busy. I was just wondering if maybe we could have this, have a note on the desk that they can get up done onto West Street here and clean up that side where we had the big dig. That tidy that shoulder area up. Not a big job, but it's a job that hasn't got done yet.
Anything else?
That's all I have.
The only thing I have is I want to thank whoever made get those trees on West Street that for the last 3 years we wonder if they're going to fall down or not. We got one down, one. You live down that way. And it looks like the new owners they come in are taking care of the trees.
Yeah. Which, like, oh my God. Like the last guy that took down the four in its front yard and it's like, holy crap. It's been
completely okay. I'm reviewing the financial reports.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Yeah.
Go.
Okay. Make a motion to approve the payroll of $45,005.71.
I will second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Make a motion to approve the warrant of $474,305.35.
I will second that motion as well.
And that is so high because we have like a whole bunch of money going to Markowski over, I think it was over 400. That was the bulk of that.
$446,607. That's for sure. The water line.
All those in favor?
Aye. Checkbook status, $270,720.15.
And that's with brackets in the negative, but we're, you know how sometimes you have a lot because you haven't made school payment? This time we have more money coming in, but it's showing in the red. I don't know if you have a better explanation.
It's every time we've hit the negative a few times over the last 8 years. It's you have money, it's just without the tax revenue coming in right now. The check shows,
as we're changing,
yeah,
the fiscal,
with the tax revenue going up, you see that number pop up.
Okay, good. I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
I will motion to go into executive session.
You need to
discuss. Personnel 1, VSA 313A4, as well as, and I wrote down real estate, but I can't recall what the second
full real estate negotiation.
Real estate negotiation.
1, VSA 313A2.
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're going to be going in the exact. Thank you for coming, folks.
And I say,
Terry is here for the personnel discussion.
Would anyone object to me going to the bathroom quickly?
I severely
object. I just it takes that long to.
Can I sign, please?
I'm sorry, we found it.
I didn't sign in. I came late. I had soccer practice.
And it must have been one.
She's good. Okay.
Didn't like the numbers back up to where they were when Hunter played.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So in another year, I anticipate having like 40 girls at the high school level.
Wow.
So, yeah, there we stopped the co-ed a handful of years ago and honestly made the world a difference for both teams. So
that's good.
We stopped co-ed at like the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade level. So.
Yeah, you mentioned Hunter. She just took up dog.
Yeah. I have no doubt. I mean, she's an athlete, so you know.
I was excited about her taking
that ball. Yeah, I got her on this too.
Yes. Oh, Tara's very excited.
Now, the last year they were moving over by the beach.
Okay, now that we've come out of executive session, we have some decisions made. Rich,
I'd like to make a motion to approve the adjustment to the chief's salary.
I will second the motion to adjust the chief's salary.
All those in favor?
Aye. I'd also like to make a motion to approve the accountant's contract.
I will second the motion to approve the accountant's contract.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And we also want to make a motion to approve to accept the offer to sell number 7 Union Street, the amount of $52,000.
I will second the motion to accept the offer for $52,000 on the lot at 7 Union.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I will second the motion to adjourn.
Hi, all in favor.
Hi.
We finished at 20 after 9. We're getting better.